I don't know if you've noticed that everything can be fine, right? Everything can kind of fall into that category fine. Everything can just be maintaining and running smoothly. And usually, if you're around a person like me, that changes at the beginning of the new year, right? Like, I had plenty of things that were going fine. I had plenty of things going with a workout program, but I was like, what if I change this up? One of the things that I recently changed is it not instead of, but in addition to my normal Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday workout group with a group of three other guys, that I was going to add a 5 a.m. I know some of you are like, that's crazy, that's nuts. And I don't know if you have a problem with your New Year's resolutions, right? But I always have. And so I started putting a discipline that it actually hurts me or it stops something that I like. Some of you guys know I love taking baths. A nice warm bath in the morning is what I like to just enjoy and relax and like start my day in a moment of calm before my kids wake up, right? And so before all that happens, now I put in, like, if I don't work out, Jordan, at 5 a.m., that I don't get my bath, that I have to go take the horrible things called showers. And not only do I don't get to do it in my bathroom, I have to do it in the kids' bathroom. And that one's always just a nasty one. And so things can be doing fine, but you still feel like, hey, there's something that's off. There's something that needs to change, right? The bills are getting paid, but life is busy. You're still functioning, but maybe there's a sense that something is missing, and maybe you can't quite name it, right? That feeling, it has a name, and it's, I believe it's separate from being just discontent or just unhappy with the way things are going. It has a name that has crept in and grown over and over and over, well over decades. And we live in this age, right? You got the Stone Age, right? And like we don't live in that one, right? But an age, like, different centuries are usually focused in on this type of age, this industrial age, right? And I read a book this past year that talked about that we're living in a secular age. It was by Philip Mangini. And it talks about, what does it look like to follow Jesus in a secular age? And I was like, but that term, what does that mean? Right? Because many times we can use terms in churches and we can use terms in books, but what does it really mean? What does it really look like? And so I was like, yeah, we could call it the secular age. And what does it look like to follow Jesus in 2026? What does it look like to follow Jesus in this secular age? But I made it a little bit maybe more understandable. This, I got this, right? I got this. I can handle this, right? I can handle this marriage. I can handle this balancing of this paycheck, this balancing of this life. I can handle this bathroom remodel, right? I can handle this project. Like, we can do this. I got this. Or maybe sometimes in people with red back on their neck, it's this hold my beer stage, right? Like, oh yeah, I'll show you. I got this, right? And so maybe we'll just pull it back to the I got this stage, right? This, I got this, right? Like, and so as we moved here, that 6-7 was the people that we would run into in the community that were fine with doing life without God. Many don't have an opposition to God. It's really hard to have an opposition to a creator that loves you, that shaped you, that formed you, that they don't have that opposition. Many people don't even have an opposition to Jesus, self-proclaimed Savior, but he died for our sins. When we read about the life of Jesus and who he is, I mean, we took last year and we had 8 weeks of who is this Jesus, not the Jesus that we've been taught about, but what Scripture actually tells us about. See, most people don't have a problem with God. Most people aren't even anti-faith. But could we live in a world where faith and God are just optional? It's not a necessity. Like we can handle a lot of things in life many times without God, right? We can handle finances without God. We can handle a marriage. We can handle, I don't know how, raising kids without God. But what is the result? See, we can believe him or not, but either way, this I trust myself. I can figure this out. I've got this. And some would say that this is the first time in history where entire societies have tried to live like that, but it's not. You see this pattern time and time again in Scripture, whether it be the Garden of Eden, whether it be the Hebrew people, whether them being them slaves, whether it be the Egyptians that worshiped all these other gods, time and time again, every race, whether it be the Tower of Babel, where they've said, I got this. I've got this figured out. I'm going to do it, as Frank Sinatra said, my way, right? Jeremiah 2:13 put it this way. He said, my people have abandoned me. The fountain of living water, they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can't hold water. See, this thirstiness, trying to satisfy it with things that are never meant to hold it, never meant to satisfy it, that really don't last. Solomon put it this way in Ecclesiastes, right? The most powerful, the most guy with the most money, the guy with the most wisdom of all time, he said, meaningless. Meaningless. And maybe you've gotten to that point in your day, right? Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And by the time he gets to verse 4, he says, I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. And he experienced a lot of them and tried plenty of different things. And he says, all of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. He didn't say this because life is bad, but he said it because life without God at the center of our lives, never fully satisfied. Jesus said it even clearer when in John 15:5, he said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We've seen that, right? You can be busy. You can be successful. You can be productive. There can be fruit that's coming, but even impressive. But if I'm not at the center, it's not going to produce the life that you're actually looking for. And so, whether it's work that has that crushing to-do list, and you still feel invisible, whether it's that marriage or those friendships, those relationships, you're trying hard, but the connection feels like it's moving more towards a roommate situation. There's finances, you're budgeting, you're hustling, you're trying to make more, picking up every hour, picking up every shift that you can, but your bank account is still screaming help year after year after year. It could be our health, it could be our weight, it could be eating right, skipping dessert, but somehow those cookies, they just still win time after time after time. Whether it's parenting or we all just came off a family binge, right? Being around our families. We're doing our best, but the chaos, it seems to keep winning. See, Jesus didn't say try harder, though. He said stay connected to me or none of these things are going to produce fruit. Not you're just going to struggle a little, not life will be harder, but nothing is going to truly last. Paul talks about this, and it's kind of our core scripture of the day. In Colossians 1, 28 and 29, he says, we proclaim Christ, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. To this end, I labor, right? He labors. He struggles with all his energy. It's so powerfully works in me. See, Paul doesn't say, I power through, I grind harder, I got this, I'll figure it out. But he says it's all his energy, not Paul's energy, it's all Christ's energy. It's working in me. How many times are we clocking in and clocking out and not experiencing God, even at our work?
Well, that's only supposed to happen when we worship.
No. He wants to be there in our work too. He wants to be there in our families. He wants to be there at our dinner tables. He wants to be in our car rides to and from school. He wants to be there in our school. No matter how hard society wants to push him out. See, Paul is saying with his energy working in me, but the difference in a secular age and an I got this age, it's a, you know what? I've got this. It's my energy. It's how many energy drinks I can drink, right? It's how many cups of coffee I can down that's going to give me this life and this energy, that's going to fuel me through this day, that's going to get me through this stressful situation. You know, today, not only are we featuring a beautiful Harbor Freight a tool chest, not sponsored by Harbor Freight at all, but I wanted to bring in some tools that I've acquired over the years. And maybe you jumped on the Ryobi bandwagon like I did. Because I know, Ryobi, not the most durable, but also not the most expensive. Right? And they got me, I don't know if it's on this bag. This was my first Ryobi tool bag. It came with a drill, I think an impact drill, a regular drill, a cordless saw, and then a battery. And so it was great until it wasn't, right? Like all Ryobi stuff. But one of the other things that Ryobi has, and I'm trying not to just give you a Ryobi commercial, is at that time they were selling this Ryobi Plus, right? This One Plus system, that it was one battery that would work with everything. And so everything that came in this bag all worked off that same battery. It was at a time where you used to have different batteries for different tools, and so they were somewhat game changers. And so while I don't have many of the blue tools left, a few years ago, they started switching to green. And so, sorry about my dirty chainsaw, but my chainsaw works off the same battery. Love this thing. I can go out, I can cut off a limb, I can cut down a whole tree if I need to. This time of year is used to like suck up stink bugs. I don't know if you live in an area, or those little ladybug type things, the Asian beetles that are all over the place. That's what I use this for most, right? And so shop vac. Not shop vac, a little handy vac, and so it runs off the same battery, right? Like this one stays in my car a lot because I got a leaky tire that I can't find the leak on yet. And so it's a little air compressor. It's nice. You can set the air pressure, press start, and walk away, and it goes to that air pressure. I love it. And so one thing about Ryobi is that they did that, and so I've been able to put on my Christmas list every year just anything Ryobi that I don't have. And so, like last year, I got this little radio. It travels with me in the yard, and it works. And so there's this One Plus system. When we redid the caulking on the windows here, this came in handy because it's an electric caulk gun. So you just squeeze the trigger once, and it's nice and smooth. And it comes out, and you can adjust the speed. Anyways, I know you guys aren't as excited about my tools as I am, but you know what? All these things are great, and they work great, and maybe he'll need a fan while he's up here, and so we'll just go ahead and give him a fan. All these things are great, but none of them are useful right now. Each and every tool is useless. In fact, without battery, they're not going to do anything. You can usually buy these tools really cheap on Facebook Marketplace because it'll be tool-only specials. Because they can't do anything without the battery. But you know what? This battery, let me see. This battery's not doing anything either. Because it's dead. Right? And some of you are saying, because it's a Ryobi battery. But that's, you're not half wrong right there. But the fact is that these batteries can receive charge, right? They can come over and they can get plugged in to the handy-dandy charger over here, and they can get charged up. And so hopefully by second service, that illustration will work a lot better. But this one, it's got power. But the fact is that I could run all these things, right? I could move and I could go to this. I could move and I could play some radio. I could come over here and get the drill all ready. I could start the construction projects right here with you in the room. And that is awesome. But it's going to get depleted, right? Without the time of going back to the charger, without the time of receiving, and that's why I'm so excited that this wasn't a throwaway Sunday for you. That it was, I'm going to go and I'm going to get connected to God. I'm going to go and I'm going to hear what He has to say, because each and every day, each and every week has all types of things that are depleting us. But many times, we're never returning to the source of where we receive our power from. And we'll say, I got this because I got this tool, but we don't have the power. Some of us don't have the power any longer. That first battery that I pulled out, this one over here is nice and charging. It's a good battery. It's still good. It's still got all its lights. This battery, still trying to get it to come back to life. It flashes red. And if you've ever owned a Ryobi battery, as soon as you see that, you know what it means. The battery's bad. But what I've learned, because of good old Mr. Rob Bryles, is many times I've got a whole wall of different chargers. And he said, you know, Billy, what has happened to that battery? It's gotten so depleted that it can't charge anymore. And that's why I'm wondering if that's where we're at. If many times we run off of everything else that we become, oh, sorry about that. We can get so depleted that we can't even receive charge anymore. As we step into this new year, one of the things that we love doing at the beginning of each and every year is turning back to God. Because we all love the new, right? I know some of you are like, well, I don't like change. Yeah, right. Somebody offers to buy you a new car, and you're like, oh, I like new. I want that one. I want that one. It needs to be purple, right? I don't know. Or maybe you love a new hairstyle, right? Especially if you're choosing it, not your husband, right? Or a new outfit, or new shoes, or new flip-flops, whatever it may be, right? Like, we love the new. But the saying actually goes, out with the old and in with the new. I wanted to start off this series and this week and even this year saying, what does out with the old actually look like? Some of you, if you've been here for a while, you know we like to start off each and every year with the 21 days of praying and fasting. What has been the thing that's been depleting us? That has been stealing us away? That we've pushed everything else aside for? That we just keep plugging in, we just keep going, never returning back to the one who gave us our first breath to begin with? And so, you may remember the Pray First series that we did in 2024. That whole connect card or that whole QR code in front of you, if you scan that or if you just text the word prayer to our text number 855-398-4752, it's a lot easier with the QR code. If you scan that and text the word pray, if you say pray 21, if you just say the word or just the number 21, I tried to like cover a bunch of bases. Now, prayer isn't anything fancy. It's not pretending. It's simply saying, God, I need to talk to you. I need help. God, I'm tired of doing this alone. God, I need you to be first. God, I need to connect with you. So as a church, we start off the first Sunday of every year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now there's a couple facets of this. One, you can pray with us as a global Foursquare church. As you scan that and text the word fast or 21 fast, you'll get a link for how the global Foursquare church, hundreds of thousands of churches, are praying together as we start this year. There's going to be an option that you can check there that you can also, there's 26 specific things that we're saying we've got some new that we're going to walk into this year and that we want to cover in prayer. And we want to make sure that God's saying, hey, walk this direction in it. And so if you text those, you'll get daily. We didn't put it at 7 a.m. We put it at 10 a.m. for those that don't like text messages at 7 a.m. But choosing to pray is just simply choosing to talk to God about it. Choosing to fast is saying, you know what? I don't want another year on autopilot. I don't want another year of I'm just going to do the same thing the same way. It actually tells our body things are different these days. Some people have chosen to do like water-only fast. Some people fast social media. Some people fast TV. Some people are fasting on their lunch break and saying, you know what? I can't go without all food, and that's probably recommended, right? Especially if it's the first one. But saying, you know what? During lunch, I'm going to replace that with time with God. I'm going to pray over the situation about this text message that I got at 10 a.m. I'm going to pray. I'm going to take this pray and fasting, God, and I'm going to pray with the global church. Saying, God, I don't want to be numb to what God wants to heal. I don't want to keep acting like things are okay. For some of you, this will be the first time you've ever prayed. Some of you, maybe the first time you've ever fasted. Whether it's food, whether it's a certain meal, whether it's a caffeinated beverage, a certain app. Simply saying, I'm going to be intentional. Just like you did this morning. You woke up and said, I'm going to be intentional about this is where I'm going to be focused this year. So, I'm excited about where we can go, but it has to be a we thing. It can't be just Pastor Billy, it can't be just Ron. It has to be us saying, where's God taking us? Where's He moving us? And are we willing to listen? As we close today, the most practical step though, because you probably got a list, right? We usually have a lot of resolutions, right? There's usually a lot of things that we want to change, but what if it's as simple as identifying one area, right? Is it just anxiety, right? I need God to show up in my anxiety. Focus on that. Don't focus on, well, I need to get better wake-up time. I need a better Bible reading plan. I need a... Like the list could go on of what you need. Just focus on one. What if it's just finances? Or just your relationships? What if it's just your future or just your habits, right? And what if the next 21 days is one simple prayer of, Jesus, I need you to be first. In my anxiety. I need you to be first in my finances. Not perfect, not polished, not just simply, I'm doing away with this so I can focus on where Jesus wants to step in to this one area. Out with the old way of self-sufficiency. In with the new way of depending on God. Because life without God can feel fine, but life with God can be where fullness begins. If you want some accountability, if you want somebody agreeing with you, that same connect card or even through that text message. Sent out an email a few months ago, a pattern that I started to develop in the middle of last year was I started to get nerdy with spreadsheets and made a spreadsheet of everybody that attends Innovation. And just separate them alphabetically and pray for all the A's on the first day of the month, all the B's, last names, so just in case you're wondering. All the C's, and you're like, well, that's only 27. There's 30 days, there's 31 days. I'm like, yeah, because some days I wake up late. Some days I have to take a shower and not a bath. Right? Like there's some days that the schedule chokes it out. The busyness can choke it out. See, what if we start to realize that we've been carrying more than we're meant to carry? That's what the fast does. It says, I'm gonna strip some things away. That you've been trying to be strong enough, and you don't have the strength. We have to be like Paul that says it's his strength that sees us through. The good news about Christianity is that it's simple, it's honest, it's hopeful. That God doesn't ask us to get our life together before we come to him. But he asks us to stop pretending like we don't need him. To start relying on him. You know, that's why Jesus came. Not to start a religion, not to add pressure to our lives, not to give us rules to follow, but to restore what's been missing. He lived the life that we couldn't live. He took our brokenness, he took our sin, he took our shame. And he took it to the cross. Died, what we just celebrated through communion. His body being broken, his blood being shed for us, and he rose again. So that the life with God could begin again. Maybe you're here and that's not a decision that you've ever made. Maybe it's not a decision you've ever made to put him in your marriage. Maybe in your finances. Maybe today is a surrender of your whole life. It's a decision that only you can make. It's between you and God. But each and every week, I love to have a prayer moment where we cry out to God, where we ask him to be involved in our lives, and we surrender our lives to him. So church, there's a prayer that we pray, many of you guys know, that I ask everybody actually in the room to pray it, because whether it's your first time or your 31st time, to know and to hear that others are with you on that journey is the way that we believe that faith should be done, that it's truly done better together. So today, if you're ready to surrender your life, I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. Let's pray. Just repeat these words after me. If you're turning over to Jesus today in church, would you pray it with those that are saying it for the first time? Pray, Jesus, today I admit that I need you. I've tried to do life on my own, and I'm tired. I believe you came for me. I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose again so I could have new life. Today I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Heal what's broken in me. Be first in my life from this day forward. Today I put my trust in you. To be my Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just said that prayer? Now, I promise you didn't just join something. You didn't just become a member of the church. There's nothing like that. If you just prayed that prayer, whether you felt something or not, Jesus steps into your life. The Bible says that you go from darkness to life, from death to life. From doing life alone to walking with God. We have a resource that we love to give everybody. It's simply that Following Jesus book. And it's that QR code or that scanning that QR code in front of you will bring up a text message. And if you text the word Following Jesus, it gets that right to your device to go with you everywhere. As we close out today, if you want to join us on that journey, on, on the praying and fasting journey, whether you're testing the word pray, 21 fast, like whatever it may be, I would invite you to step into the new by sometimes stepping out of the old and doing away with something in your life so that you can move forward into what God has for you. You were never meant to do life alone. Even Adam couldn't pull that off. You're never meant to carry everything yourself. And you don't have to start another year pretending that everything's fine. It's time to get God involved in it. It's time to do out with the old way of self-sufficiency and in with the new way of depending on God. That's what this song, what they closed us off in worship with and what they remind us with before we go. That he's up to something, right? God is doing something, and he wants to do it in you, and he wants to do it in me.